Come back to the podcast. You guys, I cannot tell you how excited I am for you to listen to this episode. It's literally a golden nugget after a golden nugget. But before we dive into today's episode, there's another thing that I want to say. So you might have noticed on social media that one of my really big dreams came true, and it actually is coming through with Taylor. And at the time of the recording of this podcast, we didn't know we were gonna do it. Like, we had kind of casually mentioned it here and there, but we didn't actually talk about doing it. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, Taylor and I were hosting a women's empowerment event called Dream Bigger Pensacola this upcoming September, you guessed it, in Pensacola, and you are invited. And I'm so excited. So who is this event for? Whether that is that you want more than having your life consumed by nap schedules and diapers or soccer practices and gymnastics and all of that stuff, and you want more than being always ready to care for everyone else's needs but your own, or holding the household together when your husband is gone or at work or deployed, or last but not least, working 40 plus hours a week building someone else's dream for a freaking paycheck. If you have that feeling inside of you that you are meant for more, but maybe you just don't know what is it, or maybe you don't know how to start or how it looks like, then this event is for you. When you sign up to come to our event, first of all, we're gonna have a blast, okay? We're gonna have the time of our lives. I get to squeeze you, you get to squeeze me. It's gonna be awesome. We also have amazing speakers, so we're gonna have high level conversations. We are going to make friends those people who like push you to be the best version of yourself and support you in it. And we are going to also help you learn how to take those actionable steps so that you can make your big dreams happen. These conversations are going to be unfiltered and unapologetic. And as of right now, of the time of releasing of the podcast, the waitlist is open. Now, why is that important? Because once the waitlist opens, once the tickets open, they're going to the waitlist first. And we only have a limited amount of tickets on early bird that we can give. So you want to be on the wait list. Just a side note, we are also going to be offering a military discount, and we're also going to offer a friend discount. So if you take your bestie or someone you like with you, please don't bring the people you don't like. If you bring someone that you like, you both save on your tickets. So get on the wait list. The link is in the show notes. If you're listening to the podcast episode after the tickets have been, opened and released for sale, the link is going to get updated. But check it out. Check it out also on our new Instagram at Dream Bigger Pensacola. We are sharing the behind the scenes, how we're creating the event, and like what are our values, and little reminders to help you go for your big dreams. So that's that. That's what I wanted to say. That's what I want to share. I hope I get to see you guys. And now let's dive into this freaking brilliant episode with Taylor Smith. Hello, everyone. My name is Kate Decker, and I am obsessed with exposing the truth of what happens when we ditch the autopilot, take our power back, and become the creators of our destiny. And I'm here to remind you that no matter who you are, where you come from, or what you've been through, you deserve to live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the Create Your Best Life Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited because I have an incredible guest today with us, guys. And we have Taylor. We have Taylor Smith. And if you don't know her, she is, first of all, an incredible human and an amazing friend. I'm so grateful to have her as a friend. but also she is a former teacher and serial entrepreneur. She has built several companies in digital products, e-commerce, and services, and now is she is a chief operating officer at Oros, a digital course creation agency. And Taylor has provided consulting and mentorship to 3,000 plus women in business because she truly believes that when women make more money, they change the world. Amen. And outside of work, she's usually found traveling, or paddleboarding. Welcome, Taylor. I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. And it just feels so good because, you know, we're friends in real life. And then I was like, oh, it's almost secondary. Usually today, like we meet people, you know, online. And I guess we did connect online, but like we've known each other in person for a while. So it's really cool to be here. And thank you for having me on the podcast.
I am so excited to have you because you guys, truthfully, I've wanted to have Taylor on the podcast since the moment I met her, but I just wasn't quite sure what is the angle that like we would bring, because there's just so much about her and you're gonna hear all about that today. But I chose the topic, it finally came to me, finally in like a postpartum after nap fog, it came to me that truly one of the things that I am blown away by the most is that she can make money doing anything. And it's so incredible, and I'm so excited to talk to her. But I first want to dive into your story, Taylor. So if you could just share with everyone, like, how did you start? How did you become a serial entrepreneur?
Yes, I love using the word serial entrepreneur because I also like say it's my toxic trait to just like become obsessed with businesses and growing and starting them. But I didn't start there. So I have a BA and MA in anthropology. I was professionally trained in human behavioral sciences, and I wanted to be a teacher, and that's all I wanted. And I had no plan B because that was my dream life. I wanted to teach at a community college level. So right out of graduate school, I got my dream job as faculty teaching anthropology in a community college. And I moved to Arizona and I fell in love with the desert. And I was like, this is amazing. I have my dream life. And then very quickly, as many teachers unfortunately have the same experience, I was like, this is terrible. Like, I'm so tired of being underpaid and undervalued, and there are no opportunities to move up or advance. And I felt very trapped. So then after a few years in public education, I thought, okay, let me switch to like private education, like corporate education, and that'll be better. So I switched, and I actually worked for Rosetta Stone, and I really liked that job. And then COVID hit and people started getting laid off at my company not too long. I think I'd been there about a year. And so I was like, I think I need to start doing other things. Like maybe I should try doing some freelancing. Maybe I should try starting some businesses. And I had started a retreat center with my mom about 6 months before COVID, actually. We bought an investment property and she wanted to start hosting retreats there. But we weren't very far into that. I certainly wasn't getting paid from it. So when COVID hit, I kind of said to myself, all right, I've got to start doing some other things in case I lose my job. I didn't lose my job, but within 4 months of the pandemic and starting to make these moves where I decided, you know what, I am worthy of so much more than $18 an hour. Within 4 months, I was making 4 to 5 times my salary, teaching salary every month, but I was still teaching. And so I was like, I have to quit. Like, it's not that I dislike my job and my teaching career at this point, but it like logistically does not make sense anymore to be putting in these hours in a job when I could be building businesses that, you know, massively up-level my life and massively scale what it is that I'm doing. And so in 2020, I left my jobs and I've been self-employed ever since. And I've gone on to found, like you said, more than one business. And it just feels so good. Like I had a few moments in the beginning where I was like, what if I fail? What if I was a one-hit wonder and I'm going to have to go back to teaching in like 2 months? And it just never happened because there was always more opportunity.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I just love that. And I want to give people examples to show them also the variety. So we're going to get like, you know, real here. So can you tell me what is the most profitable niche, if you will, with the retreat center?
Yes. And I love sharing this because it's so off the wall. And you know, because I've shared it, Kate. So we have a property. It's a retreat center. It's a historic home on the lake. It's beautiful. And we host over 100 retreats a year. It is a multi six-figure business. It's been in the black and profitable from day one, even with COVID. And our most profitable niche, 90% of our clients are women who are retired, who are like quilting and fiber artists. So it's not necessarily that I have some special connection with this audience. I don't even quilt or really craft. I don't craft actually at all. I'm not like crafty or an artist at all. But we found like, hey, this is a niche of women who want a very high quality experience and no one else is giving it to them. And so now like we have this very in high demand business because we focused on like that profitable niche. Like we could have gone with yoga retreats. We could have gone with someone else. But when we realized, hey, this is working and no one else is selling to these people, that's where we started making like really good money with it.
I freaking love that. It just cracks me up because so many people, like they don't want to, and I'm not saying like anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur, you need to niche down, but like it's so important to not be afraid of that and not be afraid of, well, whether that is something that you really love and just going with it or something that you know is going to work and make money. And I actually thought about this because just a few days ago, I shared this reel about two grandmas in a retirement home, and they were like pouring the wine like behind each other. It was like a hilarious thing. And I reshared it with a comment of like, one of my dreams is to become that grandma that everyone loves and play cards in a retirement community. And Taylor, what did you say to that?
I said them. I was like, this is why we're friends, because I do have like my life goal of what I'm going to do when I get old. And like, my goal is to become like the desert crystal granny that everyone loves. And she's kind of like weird and she never cuts her hair and she's got her crystals and she goes on hikes in the desert. Like, I already have that retirement goal myself.
So clearly you can find money and friends through sharing weird stuff, through really going specific. That was the word I was looking for. Okay, so I also know that you started a business with your sister, then you then sold. What was that?
Yes, so this was one of those businesses that I started during COVID because I thought I was going to lose my job. My sister is an artist and a designer. And so she had dabbled a little bit with creating stickers, vinyl stickers and decals, and putting her artwork on it. And so we kind of came together in that moment and we were like, hey, why don't we start an Etsy shop and we can like expand on this thing you've been doing a little bit. And so the stickers took off. We kind of hit Etsy at a like right time, right place, right at the beginning of the pandemic when people were shopping online, and Etsy just kind of blew up overnight. And we initially sold, this is another lesson to take away from this, we initially sold some other things too, like craft kits and masks and like other, just other things that we thought, hey, let's just try a bunch of stuff. And when we were like, stickers are what's working, we niched down to that and we weren't afraid of that. And today we have one of the top 1% ranked Etsy shops in the entire world. And we also have wholesale channels where the stickers are now in retail boutiques all over the world as well. And so I actually ended up last year stepping away from that business and selling it to my sister, who continues to run it full time. And we retired components that we didn't love. After, you know, we grew it, it got big. We also started training other Etsy sellers. And then I was like, I still want to teach and mentor women, but I don't feel like it's in this way. Like, I'm not loving this format of focusing only on Etsy when I know that I have so much to offer outside of that bubble. And so she was like, hey, I love the sticker component. I love the e-commerce route. And so she took that and I sold that back to her. And then I was like, I'm ready to operate on a much larger scale when it comes to like women in entrepreneurship. So lots of takeaways there, but one of the big ones really is like, try things that you love and then, you know, niche down on what is working and it will make you more money.
I love that. Yes. Okay. So that was our second one. Now, then you went into more of the online space, online coaching, and found huge success there. So tell us more about that.
I know it's like we're turning pages in a book or a magazine flipping through. So when I knew I was gonna, I already kind of started coaching and talking to people outside of the e-commerce business when I like knew I was going to start doing something more, something bigger. So I kind of started building this before leaving the other one behind. And I always knew, okay, I can mentor, I can coach in the short term, but I am going to reach a point where I want a bigger scalable idea. But this is something I can do in the meantime to gather data, to still serve people, to still make money doing this. And so for about the last 2 years-ish, that is what I did. I had a coaching membership. I still have some private mentorship clients, much like you, Kate, you know, kind of having those things behind the scene that are still creating income for you. And it was really a great time of growth for me, of being able to get into other people's businesses and like help them and then like really hone in on like, what is my specialty? Because at this point, I know how to do a lot of things. And maybe if you are an entrepreneur listening to this, or you've just had a professional career for a while, chances are you have like a lot of different skills. So at this point, it really helped me figure out of all of those things, which thing is like my superpower, which things am I really good at? And what am I going to lean into to then have a very scalable 7-8 figure idea? And that's kind of where we ended up now.
Ah, I love that. Okay, a couple of things that I want to point out for everyone because I don't want anyone to miss this. So first of all, Taylor started before even she knew if anything was going to work. She wasn't from the entrepreneurial thinking. She wanted to be a teacher, you guys. And I know that so many of you who are listening, you're like, well, how am I going to do this? I've never done this. Oh my gosh, we have the same Stanley Cups. I love it. Sorry, that was just... I get very distracted, and this is off video, so you guys don't see it, but you can hear it. So she started, even though it absolutely wasn't something that she knew how to do. And I know it's so scary because you can fail, but the only way how we're going to move forward is if we try. And another beautiful thing that Taylor said is, I wanted to do this in the meantime before I figure out what is my thing. And a lot of people sit on their butts waiting to figure out what is their thing. But a lot of times we don't know until we start something. We don't know until we start just, let me start somewhere. Let me do this. Oh, I don't like this that much. And like, that was the case for me too. I started as a graphic design, website design, you know, and then I transitioned into coaching and like business coaching and all that stuff. Then I just Pinterest for a while. Then I went, like, I didn't go away from the business coaching, but I went more into business coaching. And now I'm life coaching. And this is the thing that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what I've been wanting to do all along. And I know how I want it to look like, but it took a few years and a few different pivots to get there. And when we sit on our butts and we wait for the right idea to come, it may never come, because we don't know the things that we need to know that we only find out by doing it.
Yes. I want to add to that too, that a lot of people, including myself, like at some of these transition points, some of the things that I struggled with, and I know other people do too, is being afraid of, like, obviously we're afraid of judgment, what other people say. But for me, it was very specifically being afraid of people being like, oh, you're doing another thing. Oh, you're changing again. Oh, here she is, another thing. And this is a fear that for many people, they get stuck in, right? It's not, sometimes we don't know what our next thing is or our big idea, but also sometimes we know deeply we're ready to start trying something new, but we're afraid to what people will say when we leave something behind, even especially when we're successful at it. A lot of people were not happy with me that I left Etsy coaching behind. And I was like, I'm not working with Etsy anymore. Like, if you aren't aiming for a 7-figure business, if you're not a service provider or a coach of some kind, like, we're not working together. And a lot of people were very unhappy with that, but I had to be okay with letting that go. And I had to realize that I didn't fail at any one of those things I pivoted from. It's more like you're collecting trading cards. You're not leaving these things behind. Everything that you do is like a trading card in your collection. Every one of those is just a skill you build to then get onto the next better thing.
Yes, I 100% agree. And, you know, dealing with other people's input and judgments and questioning you, it can really be easy to question yourself, because then it's like, well, am I wrong to do this? Are they right? Should I just stick with this, especially since it's working? Or especially since it didn't work for some people, right? Because sometimes things don't work when you first try them. And how did you do with that, actually? How did you go for what you wanted?
Oh, it was definitely scary. Like, I definitely had moments of self-doubt of like, am I crazy to leave this very big audience that I left behind, and not entirely leaving them, but basically, you know, saying like, okay, so here's what I'm doing next. And if you want to be along for that, great. But if you are not along for it, like, it's fine if we part ways here. And of course I had moments of self-doubt, but I also knew from building on my past experiences, building a new audience is not that hard. Like, people really overestimate how difficult it is to attract new people to you in the online marketing space and business space. And I could say, you know, even if you're not an entrepreneur, it's also not difficult to find new people, new friends, new support in your life. Like, attracting new people who are on board with your new goals is not nearly as hard as we think it is. All you have to do is literally just start saying that thing out loud, and people are going to be interested. So for me, a lot of the narratives exist totally in my head. And sometimes when people did say things, you know, I was like, oh, you know, I'm really sorry you feel that way, but like, that's just, it is what it is. Like, I'm not changing what I want to do my own self. Like, I'm sorry, I can't make everyone happy, and I don't need to either.
Yes. And I think that's the biggest point there, is that when you know what you want and you know it's worth it to you, then all those things, all those voices, all those people, like, you can hear them, you can get temporarily upset or sad or hurt, but it's just, it's not, that voice is never as strong as that big calling that you feel inside of you. And so that's basically what you said. I'm just putting in different words. So I love that. And I know it's hard and it's hard to explain, but you guys that are listening, I highly, highly suggest go with your heart every single time, because clearly we can be successful doing anything. And so I don't know, Taylor, if you want to be talking more about your new project or if that's still a secret, what's coming next for you?
I could talk a little bit about it. It's under wraps, but our website did just launch, so it's kind of out there now. So in that space, like what you mentioned, Kate, where I was like, not really sure what my, you know, next big thing was going to be. So I started coaching in the meantime and collecting data and just making more contacts. In that space, I really started to think about what do I want to do? And I knew I had experience in digital courses and creating passive sales funnels. And I have always found it very easy to have that sales in my sleep, like new clients coming in. And I know that's so overhyped and such a like overinflated thing that business coaches love to talk about is, oh, you can make sales in your sleep. But like, when you are, you know, like really paying attention to what you're doing and you're connecting with your audience and you are serving them well, that part actually comes relatively easy with time and experience. So I knew like, okay, this is what I want to focus on is digital courses and passive sales. I'm just not quite sure how yet. And so in that time period, I had a couple of friends who were actually competitors to my previous online courses, but we had collaborated with each other. Instead of competing and never talking to each other, we were like, hey, what if we sold each other's courses to our audiences from time to time? Because you know, you can't just sell your one thing all the time. People get tired of that. They don't want you to constantly sell to them, but they love when you recommend stuff. So like, what if we did affiliate commissions on those courses? So I made this contact with these friends and we've known each other for a few years. And I took them on as a client with consulting and marketing during my freelancing period. And then I knew they were doing joint ventures with businesses. Like, I knew they were building things with other people. And they were also very, very successful. And so I was like, hey, I have this idea. I want to build digital courses for people. Like, what do you guys think about talking about doing this together? Because I feel like we have more connections and more opportunities together to do this as a venture than just me doing it on my own and you doing one client from time to time. And so it was just kind of a snowball from there. Like, we were like, yes, let's talk about this. We started collecting more market research and really starting to talk to people. And this was last September or so. And then in about November, one of my co-founders had a couple of connections with talent agents and like talent attorneys. And so she was like, I think I'm going to go talk to them. And the next thing we knew, they were saying, hey, I have an entire list of clients who need these digital courses done for them. Like, can I give you my list? Can I put you into contact with these people? And so we went from like, this is an idea to we have potential clients solely out of just conversations with a couple of like referrals. We weren't even trying to sell people. We're like, hey, this is just the idea. And they were like, I already know people who will pay for this. I already know what's going to happen. So very quickly, our agency, which is called Oros, was born, and we make digital courses for people who already have an established audience, who want to maximize their influence, who want to take what they already have in their community and their audience and their followers, and then just diversify that revenue, create more passive overnight sales, create more sales funnels, and monetize through digital courses and communities. So it's been kind of operating behind the scenes, but we have just launched our website and it's really exciting. And it's nice to finally be in a place where I'm like, this is the thing. Like, I, every day I wake up and I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. This is the thing. But I'm also so aware that like every single one of those steps was 100% necessary to get here. I had to have a background in courses. I had to have a background in launching multiple businesses. I had to have a background in learning how to market to get to this point of having a business that is projected to make 7 figures in its first year.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. First of all, congratulations. This is so freaking exciting.
Thank you.
And okay, so I was reading your bio and I was like, I wonder why is she doing this thing that's like, I don't know what that is. I get it now. It all makes sense. It's all coming full circle. But okay, what I want to point out for you guys, I don't know if you noticed this, but first of all, she, again, as she was doing things, found a new way to make money through affiliates. And this is like another thing that I love about Taylor is that you always kind of like zoom out and look, where is more opportunity? How can I win? How can we win? How can we leverage this and help each other? And the same way, like, you are so brilliant. So Taylor's a really great at leveraging talent, right? Like, you leverage the talent of your sister. You put together your business with your mom. You put together hands together, heads together with the people on Etsy. And now you have like an agency. And I feel like a lot of people are afraid to start something on their own. And the thing is, we didn't have to. You didn't have to. Taylor's a great example that you can actually help each other out and create something absolutely magnificent. Worked. And another thing that I wanted to point out is that I know you said like, oh, this is such a, like a fluffy thing and a hype thing, talking about sales in your sleep and yada yada. And one of the things that I also really, really love about Taylor is that everything that I've seen you do, you're so good at it and there's no fluff in it. And I think that is rare. I feel like in this world, some people would love the shortcut. Some people love to sell fluff. Some people love to half-ass things. And we were actually talking about this yesterday with Zach. He was telling me about the pyramids in Egypt and how precise they were and like some other things. And he was like, you know, and nowadays they would have to use lasers to make it so precise. And he was like telling me about it. And I'm like, you know what this is telling me? A lot of us are slackers here. Because like the floors in our house are not even, you know, and we have so much modern technology. And like some people slack even making floors. No offense to whoever made these floors. I don't know. But you are not a slacker. You're not half-assing anything. And I just appreciate that so much because those are the people that I want to always keep around me. The people that care and the people make good quality things. So I'm just so excited for this new venture for you.
Oh, thank you. And what you hit on right there is like truly the like mission that I have in my life, and it's a mission that I see other people who are really successful do, is like they're basically always asking sort of two questions. And what is that big picture vision? Like what opportunities are out there? How good can it get? How big can it get? That's like every day in my life. So I'm like, how can I have 1,000 different ways to make this happen? How can I have 1,000 different ways to make money? And the second thing is, you know, what can you go pro in? How can you have the highest quality experience for your clients? How can you be the absolute best in, even if you're in year one of your business? Like, how can you be the best? Stop being a slacker, and how can you be the absolute best at any stage? You don't have to zoom forward and be 20 years into experience and compete with that person. You just need to be the best for what you have right then. And I used to think like, I don't really know what's wrong with me. I haven't started any businesses that like are my lifelong passion, and I love them, and I have this fancy mission statement. I used to like really worry, like, you know, some people just have this life-changing story and that's why they started their business. And I never had that. And then I read this book called So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport. And he studied experts to see like, what was it? And a lot of them never really started with that deep, 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 like lifelong passion in the beginning, even though that's what they say. Steve Jobs was very famous for saying, follow your passion. But rather, they became so good at the thing that they did, the passion came later because they got opportunities, because they were successful, because they made money. The passion came afterwards. But in the beginning, they just focused on how can I go pro at this thing?
That is so powerful. And I will definitely link the book below in the description, because that sounds like a book that we should also read in the book club. I love that. So is there anything else that we didn't touch on that you'd love to share with our audience? Something that they really need to know?
Yeah. So I feel like I talked a lot about like, how do you make money? And like, how do you get all these connections? And how can you be so successful and in such a short amount of time? And I really would love to like give a couple of very practical tips for like, these are the actual things I did. And it's not overnight and glamorous. But talking to people, like that is the number one way that I have had so many opportunities fall into my lap. Very practically, I do coffee chats, and I've done them on and off, but every time I like find myself needing an idea or needing more clients, I just go on 20-minute coffee chats. I pitch people on Instagram or online, and I say, hey, can we come on a coffee chat call? It's 20 minutes of your time. I will not give you a sales pitch. I want to know, how can I help or support you? And what are you learning right now? And I just ask those two questions, and that 20-minute conversation has always generated clients for me. Sometimes I do it over lunch. Sometimes I, you know, do it in some other fashion, but like always just talking to people with the like idea that just how can we help each other instead of I need to sell you. And people can sense the difference, and that is going to lead to referrals, clients, opportunities for you personally, opportunities for your business. I think that is really undervalued today online. I'm going to add one more, and that, you know, we talked a lot about opportunity. And so I would say, like, if you don't have a habit every single day of like a daily walk where you don't listen to music, you're not listening to true crime podcasts, you're just listening to like a personal development podcast or book, or you're just walking in silence, if you don't already have that daily practice of like giving yourself time to think, you are leaving money on the table in whatever it is that you're doing, because you will generate some amazing ideas if you do that every single day, even if it's just 10 minutes. Like, it makes a huge difference.
I 100% agree. That's literally like how my entire business was created. It was always on a walk. So
Yeah,
I love that you pointed it out. Well, I have this last question on you, and that is the question that I ask everyone. And so what does dream life look like to you?
I think that my dream life looks like every day having sort of two things. And one of those is like joy. Like, I need to be happy about what I'm doing. Even if it's not fun, I have to decide I am going to find joy in this because I'm tying it to like my bigger goals. And so I'm going to make this fun. I'm going to be polite. I'm going to smile and send emojis and like hype myself up if I need to, whatever it is. And then the second thing is being unafraid to fail. It creates that dream life. Like if you aren't afraid of failing because you know that you cannot fail when you listen to yourself, when you take risks on yourself, if you know you cannot fail, so you're no longer afraid of failing, that is when your dream life starts to happen. You know, meet your soulmate and you have these amazing opportunities and you make all this money. And it took me a long time to reach that point of having zero fear of failure. But when I did, when I started practicing that of asking like, what's the worst that could happen? Or what's the evidence that I could succeed, right? When I started asking myself those very practical questions, I realized like, I don't need to have any fear of failing. And then all these amazing things started happening. They're helping me build that dream life.
I freaking love that. Yes, everyone, just write it down, tattoo it on your forehead. This was so perfect. Thank you so much for being here, for sharing all of your wisdom, for sharing also your confidence. Like I hope you guys could feel it, sense it, and you can channel it later. That confidence of just like, just try it, just go for it. That you can sense just from talking to Taylor or listening to Taylor. So thank you so much for being here. And well, I'll see you soon, hopefully.
Yes. Thank you for having me, Kay. It was truly a pleasure.
All right. Before you hop off, go sign up for that wait list. Go follow our Instagram at Dream Bigger Pensacola. It's all in the show notes. And yeah, give us some love. We'll give you some love back. Hopefully, we get to see each other in September. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved it, please let me know by leaving a short review here on the podcast app and take a screenshot of the episode and tag me on your Instagram stories at @xokdecker so that I can keep your favorite topics coming. And until next time, let's create your best life.